doing a three-week series on faith, and faith is really quite a gift. Faith comes when you hear the good news about Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done, and the Spirit uses that gospel to work the gift of faith in you. But when you have faith, oh my, what starts to happen to you? You start to see and understand things. In the book of Hebrews, it says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. So the things that are visible were not made by things that are. In other words, there were no pre-existing materials. There was no Big Bang. It was created by the Word of God. Faith sees this. It understands that. Faith is that which brings us into a reconciled relationship with the God who alone is God. By grace, you have been saved through faith in Christ. And this is not of your own doing. It's not of your own works, lest anybody should boast. It is the gift of God, Paul writes in Ephesians 2. And so with that, we start to say, well, faith starts in this relationship with Jesus Christ. And Paul intimates in that first lesson that faith recognizes power. And this power is that which Jesus Christ kind of assigns, offers, instills, infuses. What's the word I'm trying to look for? You have it. You've got it. What am I talking about? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he die, yet shall he what? And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's power. Faith is like this. Faith has goes beyond hope into a living hope. The Bible says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Well, I hope the Ravens win today. I have no assurance that they will. I hope I go to heaven. I have every assurance that I will, because I have faith in Jesus Christ. Don't sit and say, I hope I go to heaven, meaning I'm not really sure, because then it's all up to you, isn't it? But faith looks to Jesus Christ. Faith has the assurance of things hoped for. It has the conviction of things not seen. Faith is a wonderful gift. We're in a series on faith, and we want to say at the outset that this gift of faith that has been given to you is not something that you want to put in your cedar chest. It won't be preserved that way. Don't put your faith on the shelf. It does not have a very long shelf life when you just put it up there. You see, faith is a muscle. It's an exertion. When you get that gift of God, you are then using that faith in facing life, in living life. And so we've titled this particular series, Keep Climbing Through Faith, because we're on the move in various ways. Last week we said that faith climbs in life, and when it does, it goes through adversity. And that adversity can be the guilt that I carry because I am a sinner. It can be things that happen to me from the outside that I never expected. It could be the fact that life many times leaves you with a broken heart. And you find out that Jesus can heal that broken heart perfectly. This week we want to look at something else. It's climbing faith, but it's climbing upon shoulders of faith. And when you come into relationship with Jesus Christ, He kind of says, lend me your shoulders. Because there's others coming that need to climb on your shoulders of faith. It kind of looks like this from the Naval Academy. It's an annual tradition. Climbing on each other's shoulders to the top of that monument. Every plebe class does it. Here's our verse that's underpinning this particular message of keep climbing on the shoulders of generational faith. Paul says to the Corinthians, "For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father." Remember that line? Through the gospel. "Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me." All right, a little VTS poll here. We'll publish it maybe in the AJC tomorrow. Will you play with me? How many of you have heard of Spider-Man? Okay. How many of you know the Spider-Man song? Spider-Man, Spider-Man. We're not singing it now. How many of you have seen at least one Spider-Man movie? Oh, wow. This is 10-15. Okay. How many of you have seen Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the movie we're working with today? 50% of you. Okay, when I put the series together, I didn't think that this was going to... I needed climbing movies. But I really did. I wondered about this one. It's a very clever, very artistic movie. But if you're over 50 or 60, you think, an adolescent kid in animation? No way. But if you're over 50 or 60 and you watch the movie, you have one of these. Aha! It is put together with just a cleverness, an artistry, but it drives toward a great message. And not only that, it's easy to watch because it's a family film versus The Dawn Wall and The Green Book, which at times makes you cringe in terms of the kind of language and innuendo that sometimes shows up. This is a neat, neat movie. And here's a little synopsis of it, because we're going to use it as the background, as we do when we have movie messages. And there's a young teen named Miles Morales. He lives in Brooklyn. He's an artistic kid, and he wins a scholarship to a prep school that is a boarding school Monday through Friday. He really doesn't think he wants to be there. He wants to be with his friends in his own neighborhood that he knows. He's an adolescent. He's a teen. He's trying to figure out who he is. He's trying to figure out where he really belongs and where he really fits in. And then all of a sudden, he is becoming Spider-Man. You say, how come? Because in every Spider-Man movie, somebody gets bit by a radioactive spider and becomes Spider-Man. Okay. And so as this happens, as he gets bit by this radioactive spider, he starts to get sticky. But he doesn't know why. His hands are sticky, his feet are sticky. He now is Spider-Man, but he sure doesn't know what this means. So in this first clip, you get to go inside the mind of an adolescent teenager who is trying to figure out who he is anyway, but now has the added burden of trying to understand who he is now as Spider-Man, if he really is Spider-Man. And I just want you to lean back, relax, enjoy, laugh a little bit as you listen to what goes through his head. It takes place in that boarding school that he's in, and he's just had an experience with stickiness that will continue right now.
No one saw. It's okay. No one knows. No one knows.
Everyone knows.
Everyone knows.
They're talking about me.
They saw everything. He knows. She knows. They know.
Wow, she's super tall.
Why is he smiling? Am I the weird guy now? What am I doing? How do I stop? Can they hear my thoughts? Why are all my thoughts so loud?
I know you snuck out last night, Morales.
Play dumb.
Who's Morales?
Not that dumb. He's got a nice voice.
Open up!
Stop! Sticking! Keep sticking, mouse!
Hofstadter is suggesting is that we will work on the other.
Okay.
My room!
Why is this happening? Please stop sticking. Please keep
Wait.
How could there be two Spider-Men? There can't be two Spider-Men. Can there?
Oh, can there? All right, here's the deal. Here's what we're going to say is, like Miles, we've been bitten in a far superior way. So I know analogies break down. This is just a Marvel comic book movie. But in a way, the gospel does bite. When Peter gave his first sermon in Acts, the people were what? Cut to the heart. And they said, what do we do now to be in right relationship with God? So we get bitten in a far superior way. Okay? But here's what I want you to see. Miles is in this new reality of being Spider-Man, and he doesn't understand the reality at all. He doesn't know how to navigate the reality, doesn't know what's happening to him, when all of a sudden the Marvel comic book comes to him. And the comic book starts to help him to understand his reality. I live in the reality of faith, and I hope all of you do, but I would not understand this reality of faith if God hadn't kind of brought the Word of God to me. And it's not that I always understand the Word of God. I need other people reading the Word of God with me, sharing their insights, and then things about this wonderful reality of faith. Where Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, how do I live my life in the Son of God? How do I live by faith? God ensures that the book comes to you. And in the book, you start to understand the realities of what it means to be a Christian. So I got a question to ask. How are your shoulders? How are your shoulders? Faith rests on multi-generational shoulders. We're not the first, and we're not the last to believe in Christ. But I guarantee you, we are standing on somebody's shoulders, and our shoulders need to be available for somebody else. Let's push on with Miles. That bite creates in Miles a sense of calling, a sense of mission, a sense of purpose. He knows that he has to do some good that is not just good for him, but good for his fellow man in New York City that constantly is saved in Spider-Man movies. And so he senses with the bite a purpose and a mission and a calling. And I thought to myself how perfect this is, that it takes place in an adolescent teen. Because you see, God has wired every human being that usually starting in adolescence, when we're teenagers, we start to ask questions about ourselves. We want to understand ourselves. Why am I here? What am I to do? Why do I feel drawn this way or that way? The tragedy is when we go to the cedar chest with faith, when we put it up there on the top shelf, we lose that sense that God has a purpose for us to carry out right now. We get satisfied with just living, going to work, paying the bills, blah, blah, blah. It really is helpful in life if you get around some teenagers or even younger, because they have this sense that life before them is something that they have to keep climbing in. And when you become a Christian, it just accelerates that. You're going to see this. Here it is. 20 minutes into the movie, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, dies. Which in a Spider-Man movie is a bummer. Except there's a newly spiderized Miles Morales now. And so what is going to happen in this scene is he's going to sense his calling. You need to listen to Mary Jane, Peter Parker's widow, who is giving a eulogy at a New York City outdoor memorial service. Miles Morales wants to be there with all the other people who like Spider-Man. And so he goes to a store to buy a Spider-Man outfit because many of them are identifying that way. And when the guy across the counter speaks something to him, it's really Stan Lee, who is the creator, the inventor of the Spider-Man comic book series. And he always has a cameo in the Spider-Man flicks. And what he says to Miles Morales, who, buying the suit, doesn't believe it's going to fit, listen to what he says. And then watch what Miles does as he sets out on him.
My husband, Peter Parker, was an ordinary person. He always said it could have been anyone behind the mask. He was just a kid who happened to get bit.
I'm going to miss him.
Yeah,
we were friends, you know.
Can I return it if it doesn't fit?
It always fits. Eventually.
He didn't ask for his powers. But he chose to be Spider-Man. My favorite thing about Peter is that he made us each feel powerful. We all have powers of one kind or another. But in our own way, we are all Spider-Man. And we're all counting on you.
They're counting on me. Probably not you specifically. I think it's a metaphor.
He's Spider-Man, and Spider-Man always gets up, you know. Three things I want you to see in this. Number one, what Mary Jane, the widow of Peter Parker, says. Anyone could wear the mask. Anyone could be Spider-Man. You could be Spider-Man. And when I think about, you know, that as background for something, I think about my own faith. And I say, why me? Why me, Lord? Why have you come to me and presented your son to me so I am a person of faith? Well, it could have been any one of us, and it is, you see. Second thing I want you to see is that Miles takes seriously this mission that he has as Spider-Man, and he reads the book and he sees what he's to do, but what happens? He goes up to the top of that first building and looks down and says, oh no, not me. And he chooses a smaller building because he's Spider-Man and he does what Spider-Man's supposed to do, but he trips over his own shoelaces. Third thing to see, Stan Lee behind the counter. What if it doesn't fit the suit, Miles says. What does Stan Lee say? It always fits eventually. Here's the deal. Like Miles, we have a suit to put on, and we need to grow into it. Now, I wonder what suit we're supposed to put on. Let me give you a hint. It starts with a J and ends with an Jesus. Can you say it? The suit is that which is given to me. But let me be a little bit more theological, biblical. Let me be astounding about the suit that you're to put on and I'm to put on. I want you to think with me about the suit that we're to put on. In that first lesson, faith in every generation begins with being clothed in the suit of the only and first begotten Jesus. Now, I want to explain that to you. That's the suit we put on. The only and the first begotten Jesus. Aaron read the first lesson from the ESV. But here's what it says in the King James Version. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, beheld His glory. The glory is the only what? He's the only begotten of the Father. Begotten has the sense that He is Son to the Father. The ESV changes it to the only Son. Many other versions take that Greek word and say the one and only Son. What is this saying? It's saying something about Jesus that you and I need to register, only it's hard. Jesus is the one and only begotten Son of God from eternity. He always has been with the Father as the begotten Son. There never was a time when there was only the Father and not His Son. Always and only He has been with the Father and the Spirit as the only begotten Son for eternity. And He came into the world so that we might be clothed in His suit. In the new man that is being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. We've been clothed with the new man. When the only begotten Son stepped in to our history and our humanity, He did so with this purpose that we might be conformed to His image in order that He might be the firstborn, may I say, same thing, the first begotten among many brothers and sisters. And here's what that means, very simply. Jesus Christ is the first begotten of many brothers and sisters because He carried our sin and He died for that sin, but then He rose from the dead and He is alive. This eternal Son of God died as the only begotten Son of God, but because He rose from the dead and is alive forevermore, He is it. You are then clothed in His life, death, and resurrection. You are alive in faith for eternity. You are counted as His brothers and sisters, this firstborn Jesus. And I would just say to us that that gives us a whole different view of who we are with the understanding of faith. You are very, very special in God's eyes that He would put that suit upon you. And what if you would say to me, Pastor Kevin, what if that phenomenal suit of His holiness, His righteousness, everything that Christ is, we wear, what if it doesn't fit? I'd just say, eventually, it will. How does Miles find out about the suit fitting him? Well, it's very interesting. He starts to find the answer in Peter Parker Ant's shed, which because it's a comic strip book, goes down an elevator into this huge warehouse of Spider-Man paraphernalia, and there he meets the solution to how eventually the suit will fit.
Hey, Peter. I think this is a cape.
Peter knew how dangerous the job was, but he figured the only one who could stop this guy was Spider-Man.
Kingpin knows we're coming. We're going to be outnumbered.
Don't be so sure. You might need these. You think you're the only people who've got to come here?
Hey, fellas.
Is he in black and white?
Where's that wind coming from? We're in a basement.
Wherever I go, the wind follows. And the wind, it smells like rain.
Hi, guys. Konnichiwa. Hajimemashite. Yoroshiku.
This could literally not get any weirder.
It can get weirder. I just washed my hands. That's why they're wet. No other reason.
My name is Peter Parker.
My name is Penny Parker.
My name is Peter Parker.
I was bitten by a radioactive pig.
And here's how he's going to grow into that suit. You're just like me. That's right. I was bitten by that radioactive spider. And we've been around a while in this, and we're going to help you grow into the suit. You see, it reminds me of what the Bible says. As for us, we have all these great witnesses. Can I just add, we have all these great shoulders who encircle us like clouds. So we got to let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin that so easily falls into us. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. What race? The path that has already been marked out before us to become more and more like the suit of Jesus Christ for doing good in the world. We need generational faith shoulders. I mean, can you name them? I could name a lot of them. Bud Terry, Holy Nativity Lutheran Church, loved athletics, was a baseball umpire, umped many a game that I participated in Baltimore Lutheran High School. And yet he was my Sunday school teacher, Sunday mornings. And he just went ahead and poured himself into us. I know I'm standing here today because I stood on his shoulders. Now, I understand that in many aspects of life, we have tutors and we have coaches and we have mentors, and that's good. But what makes a tutor, a coach, a mentor, a person with the shoulders of faith dynamic is one particular aspect. And I'll show it to you in this clip. The background is simply that Miles is not ready to go on the dangerous mission with all those other spider people. And so, for his own safety, they kind of wrap him up in a spider web in his room. And that's kind of where this clip starts.
Okay. Look, I know I don't always do what you need me to do or say what you need me to say, but I see this spark in you. It's amazing. It's why I push you, but it's yours. Whatever you choose to do with it, you'll be great. Well, call me when you can, okay? I love you. You don't have to say it back, though. No.
So that one dynamic that I'm talking about that every coach, mentor needs is love. And that was Miles' dad's talking on the other side of the door, and Miles couldn't answer, and it's kind of touching that way, but it sinks in. And you see what happens is that spark happens, because he then just goes on to be Spider-Man, because somebody not only believed in him and encouraged him and taught him, but just loved him through it. Faith in every generation requires those who bear the character of fathers and mothers. And I think this is what Paul was getting at when he said these words. For if you were to have countless tutors, you know, yet you would not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. And in that little section, he's writing to a church that was so troublesome to him, and yet he would never give up on them. He was gonna stick to them and love them, and he was willing to, like a father and mother will, lend his shoulders so those Corinthians could fill out that suit that they were meant to fill out. If you think about what the one characteristic of a father and mother is, it's this. That they are willing to serve and sacrifice and lay down their lives for their children, because when their children go forward and climb and succeed and flourish, then they are flourishing, climbing, and feeling like they're succeeding. What I love about this movie is that it presents a family with parents who are involved, who care, who love. So many movies today have dysfunctional dads, especially. They're like non-entities, or they're buffoons. Real fathers love. And that love expresses itself in sacrifice and service. Mothers do the same too. And when you sacrifice and flourish like a mom or a dad, and here's one of the critical things in this movie, is the Peter Parker from this alternate universe, you know, this multi-universe stuff is so ridiculous. It's just a way to try to escape God. So they posit that when the Big Bang happened, there were multiple universes, right? There's absolutely no evidence for that. We know that the world was made by the Word of God. That's how it came about. But what's interesting is that this other Peter Parker from a different universe is the chief mentor of Miles Morales, and he really does love this kid, and he gives himself, and he'll lay his life down for him. But here's what every dad and mom wants to see, both of their children and their spiritual children.
Your turn.
Yeah, right.
I'll hold them off. You shut this down.
Peter, that wasn't the deal.
Push the green button. Do not wait for me. What are you doing?
Peter, you've got to go home.
This guy can kill you. I can't let Spider-Man die.
Neither can I.
It's okay.
Yeah, it is okay.
You gotta go home, man. How do I know I'm not gonna mess it up again? You won't.
Right. It's a leap of faith.
Not bad, kid.
All right, here it is. This Peter Parker has mentored and loved Miles Morales, who climbed onto his shoulders to become Spider-Man. And this last scene shows what every one of us who cares about the gospel of Christ and the next generation believing the gospel of Christ. We all want them to come to a place where we say, way to go, kid. Because they're peers. Because they got it. And because they can give back to us as much as we have given back to them. Oh my goodness. Don't you see, this is the mission of the church. Let me make it succinct. Through the gift of faith, you stand on Jesus' shoulders. Because He took the cross upon His own shoulders with your sin. And with His love, died and sacrificed for each one of us. This is true. Every one of us stands on Jesus' shoulders. And yet, paradoxically, God has designed it so that we stand on the faith shoulders of fathers and mothers who came before us. And now, our shoulders are required for the next generation. I think our nation and culture is losing this concept of the shoulders that have come before us that have made us what we are. I can't help but think this is the 75th anniversary year of D-Day. Our freedom is built upon the shoulders of others, but now it's our turn. It's no different in the Christian church. We can't lose this concept. CTS was built on the shoulders of people who are no longer even here. And they were over in open arms every Saturday taking chairs out to set up the sanctuary so other people would come to be able to hear the gospel in a place. But they didn't do it to get applause. They just did it because they love Jesus. And we continue that way as we lend our shoulders to one another and to others. You have those shoulders. You have the shoulders that can carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. You have the shoulders that people can lean on. You have the shoulders that people can cry on. You have the shoulders that can carry relief supplies. You have those shoulders that can carry the service and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You have them. People tell me, they say, I've never seen a miracle. I want to see a miracle. I see a miracle every Sunday when I look out into the sanctuary and I see multiple generations who are living by faith because of the shoulders of those who have come before. It is a miracle. So, how are your shoulders?
Okay, let's do this one last time, yeah? For real this time. This is it. My name is Miles Morales. I was bitten by a radioactive spider. And for like 2 days, I've been the one and only Spider-Man. I think you know the rest. I finished my essay. I saved a bunch of people. Got hit by a drone. I did this with my dad. Met my roommate, finally. Slapped a sticker where my dad's never gonna find it. And when I feel alone, like no one understands what I'm going through, I remember my friends who get it. I never thought I'd be able to do any of this stuff, but I can. Anyone can wear the mask. You could wear the mask. If you didn't know that before, I hope you do now. I'm Spider-Man. I'm not the only one.
I am Christ's. I'm a Christian. But I'm not the only one. I am glad to be in a community of shoulders of faith who are willing to lend them so the next generation can climb on and see Jesus. That's what we're about. Please rise.